How is Supernova, and what can I do for you today? What's on your mind?
So just a thing to help, after reading like I said, I'm about halfway through the new book, and after reading the section on the 5-star model, like it is glaringly obvious to me that we have the wrong people in the wrong roles, like totally wrong. But the problem I'm having right now is that I bought the book on Kindle, and I've been reading on my Kindle, and I highlight some stuff. But
Yep.
Kindle highlighting like limits the amount of text you can show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I wrote the girls, Cindy and Lori, last week, saying asking if there was a way I could get like an excerpt from the 5-star model selection part of the book to where I actually could like see it and highlight and break it down easily. Because like I'm talking to the guys about what I'm reading, but like I'm trying to go back and forth between the Kindle and this, and like there's no real easy way to do it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I've got a solution. I got a solution for you that will help my
Buy the
students.
book and highlight it, is
Exactly.
that what you're
Then you, then everybody does well. You have the book. Cindy will
Fine.
send you an autographed copy too.
So buy it through her. All right.
Yeah, if you
Okay.
buy it through her, if you buy it through her, I make like $8. If you buy it through Amazon, I make $1.
Okay. So who do I need to email?
Cindy. Cindy Bowie.
Yeah, just
Are you
yeah.
self-publishing? Not to get
No,
off track for.
I publish through Wiley, but just to let you know how this works, you make a deal with them, and the deal is that they publish it, they give you an advance, and you know, which is nothing, 15 grand, and then they sell you, obviously, as many books as you want, but the price you buy them for is negotiable. So I buy them for $12 and sell them for as much as I can. And when they sell them to Amazon, you know, Wiley pays me a dollar.
All right,
So
Larry, I'm sending it to buy 4 books and tell her to send us a bill. Please send 4 copies of the printed book.
four
Let me know how to.
books.
Yeah, that way you, Barry, and Christine can all take one and not read it. Ha ha ha.
The other thing, seriously, is it's a great marketing piece for you guys
Yeah.
because you hand it to a set, you meet with a center of influence, you hand it to the center of influence and say, hey, we're going to be working on these things together.
All right, 6 copies of the book
Okay.
for right now.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I had another team that did just that this week, and you know that obviously the client appreciates it. It gives you something to do. You're going to meet with somebody every month. It's good to give them something to do in between meetings, reading the book on centers of influence and creating mastermind groups and niches and niche mastermind groups. That's all you have to tell them to read. Or you know, each month you could read a new chapter and meet and talk about it. This will really help a lot of your businesses. They know nothing about marketing. So anybody that you care about that's in business, give them one of these books and say, hey, let's talk about this on the agenda next month, along with the other things we're going to talk about.
Okay.
I'm not, I mean, yeah, I'd like to sell books, but I'm serious as a heart attack.
No.
So to speak.
I've talked to my CPA, and I'm telling her she needs to
She needs
supernova her
to do this as
practice.
well,
You
yeah.
know, she's starting to do this, like from the raw standpoint. But I'm like, yeah, this is like what we're doing with our practice. You know, like because she's turning down some smaller clients now and that type of stuff. So I've given away some
Yeah.
more people since our last call as well. So I'm literally, I'm doing it.
No, it's really good. No, it's good. I mean, I hope. And you can be the first to write a review, okay? No one, I mean, everybody, you know, life is so funny. You could have the cure, literally, the cure for cancer. There'd still be plenty of cancer around. Nobody does anything. You know, they don't read, they don't write reviews, they don't. So write a review for me too, and make it 5 stars, and I really will appreciate it.
Where, on Kindle?
On Amazon.
Okay.
That helps tremendously with book sales.
Okay.
All right. And book sales, you know, they're important. It's just, you know, that's why I do this, right? Do this to raise money for my kids.
Right. I get it. We've discussed maybe doing something about that, about giving back to client charities and stuff like that, or having each year we nominate a couple of charities, and you know, I'm not sure about the rules on that, though. We'd have to double check whether we're allowed to do something like that.
It's great. But, you should do it. You should do it. You should. I mean, you're not in a position yet to do it, but one of the things I talked to a guy earlier today who's really marketing and doing very well, but he's got a case where it's a guy that's kicking out $3 to $5 million a year in income, and he's going to retire, you know, in about 5 years. And he's picking a team, and they're competing. It's one of three. And he said, what can I do to be different in this presentation? I said, come at it from his values. He happens to be, I asked him about the client. What's he like? He's a Christian. He doesn't want to give all his money to his kids. He's philanthropic. He wants to help. He wants to make a difference in his life, and he wants to retire early so he can work on community issues. I said, perfect guy. Create a family foundation and a dynasty trust. And present those to him and show him how those things will help him use his money to pass on his values to his children, educate his children, keep his children together, keep them together when you're not there because they have to work together on the foundation. The Dynasty Trust is an incentive trust that encourages the behaviors that support your values, and you can write it any way you want, and it lasts in perpetuity. And nobody sells that.
Right.
And it's incredibly valuable. And you guys are going to be, you're in a perfect place to compete for these kinds of accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can go into more of that and why the values, how you do it and all that stuff, because I've done it. You know, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it, nobody, you know, I talk to wealthy people all the time, and a few of them have family foundations, but not the average guy with 20 to 30 million. He doesn't. The guy with a couple hundred million, he does.
Right. And other news of how Morgan Stanley's making our lives more fun. We met a guy that we wanted to hire. We went through a couple of interviews, got it all the way basically to the point where we're about to prepare an offer, and we were told that the hiring stuff is basically getting – we're not allowed to hire anyone. Or at least we can bring someone on, probably be Q4 if we're lucky kind of situation. So – you know, without getting into specifics, I get the idea that their headcount just got slashed in terms of what they're allowed to hire. And a lot of people that are coming online this year are children of current advisors. So that kind of leaves us out in the cold from that standpoint. So we are back to either selecting someone who's already here or paying to bring on our own assistant if they let us. And I'm curious if we'll have the real estate desk space to let anyone else in here, since they're merging our offices together as well. So we're kind of in a tough spot.
I think one of the things you have to understand is that nothing that's worthwhile comes easy, and that politics will always be a part of your life. And
no, we understand it.
Yeah. But you remember, but you also have to remember the five time rule.
five times, I'll bite. Go ahead.
That's where you have to tell someone something five times if you want them to understand it.
Okay.
Is that right, Rob?
That's right. And I mean, it depends on whether this is something you really want to do. Okay. So they said no, and you went away. Okay, so guess what? They were right.
No, they said no, or no, they said they wanted us to string the guy along and try to keep him in the pipe or whatever the case is. They said that there's two people coming on in Q3. One of them may bail. If that person bails, then we may be able to get him in the door then. But they can only get one hire for our complex in Q4. So of
right.
the three
now,
remaining hires for the year, two of them are advisor kids or something.
If you had a $2 million producer from Merrill Lynch that wanted to come over, how much trouble would that be?
None.
I don't know. Okay. I think it may be trouble right now, quite honestly. If you have three spots and there's two...
It wouldn't be a problem. I'm sure they'd make it work.
Right. They'd build a new building, okay? The point is that they're always hiring, and you can always get what you need if you go high enough. You just have to commit to it. Okay? So you just can't accept no for an answer. It's just not a really good answer if you've got a mission. I mean, if you accept no, no's good. Okay. Move on. Go do something else. But if your plan incorporates this and it's really important to you and it's going to affect you to the point of you're not going to produce another $200,000 or $300,000, then you should get a yes.
Or ask again in a couple of weeks.
No, you should.
You go for a yes.
Look, I was in the position of your regional director. So I went through cuts and expansions and more cuts, and it's just a cycle, you know. It's like Congress. There's, you know, how stupid can we be today? You know, let's try and be as stupid as we were 10 years ago, 5 years
All right.
ago, or 20 years ago.
So I talked to our boss's boss already about this, and he is frustrated with the situation as well.
He's got to be a better salesman, okay?
He does, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
he does.
He used to be the regional director also. Like, he ran, like...
Right.
The nine states down here in the southeast, and
he got
knocked down when they restructured.
Right, but he's your congressman, right? So he's got to go get the bill passed. That's all.
He's our center of influence as well. That's him. He's our supernova guy.
He's not selling hard enough. Trust me, if you're national sales director, you can hire one more person. Okay.
Okay.
But you just, you know.
Well, let me ask you another question. If you were in this person's shoes, the guy that we're hiring or the guy that we're looking to hire had like the highest offer for a new hire on the table that I'd ever heard of. Like, they were offering him like a base of like $100,000 to come in.
Yep.
Do you think
How good is he?
He's very smart. He's very qualified. He's done institutional selling, you know, like,
Is he hustler? Is he poor,
yes.
hungry, and driven?
Yeah, he's a former scout, sniper, Marine.
One
right.
we were talking to you about.
Yeah.
Right. I hired a guy in 1994 for $100,000. Okay, as a manager, and I put him one-on-one and gave him an office, and he'd never been in our business. He was the top salesman young salesman at Northwestern Mutual Life. He said, I will sell five times as much stuff as anybody you have now. I'll be the number one national salesman in the nation. I said, fine, I'll pay you $100,000. Come in, give you an office, give you a sales assistant. Go do it. Guess what? He did it. So do you think anybody questioned my $100,000? Never heard a word. Never.
All right, but in your line of theory, though, we have to be damn sure if we're gonna this would be us sticking our neck out, and
bingo,
we have to stick our neck out either way.
Just like I did, right? Do you think I didn't stick my neck out?
Right.
Hell yeah, I did. But you know what? You don't stick your neck out. What? You're never gonna do something. You're never gonna grow. Yeah. You're never gonna learn. You're never gonna. You gotta stick your neck out. You gotta be willing to take some risks. And that's why guys that expand during recessions win. They gotta expand. They gotta have the right people, and they gotta win. You just have to win. That's all. You just have to win. You can't do this and lose. You have to be number one. So you got to look everybody in the eye, just like the Blue Angels, and say, are you guys ready to fly? If you're ready to fly, we're going to go after this guy, and we're going to get him. But if you're not ready to fly, then, you know, why bother, right? Because I need some backup on this thing. We got to make this work.
And if they're looking for net new assets and he's out prospecting, that solves the problem that much easier as well.
Yeah, and if he doesn't do it, you guys have got to do it, okay? Because your boss just put his ass on the line for you.
Right.
And we're already up from what we need to be. So.
But you know what I mean. You got to do it.
Yes.
You got to be there. So you play to win or you play not to lose. It's up to you guys. I mean, that's what you're talking about. I'm not being a smartass here. I'm just telling you. Play to win takes some guts, and you don't do it by sitting on the bench. And making excuses.
Doesn't mean we have to go at it adversarial either, Ryan. I mean, you're
no, not at all.
But
you guys are your friends. You say,
so,
hey, look, this is what we need.
Look,
how do we get?
So
it?
Look, we got a way to be a win-win.
So Rob, when I have a very good relationship with our complex director, and I was telling him about our situation, and I was asking him about it, you know, kind of. Trying to feel him out to see where his mind was. And what he posed to me was, you know, do we really need someone to go out and get new business? You know, because we've always kind of thought of it as if you can find someone that can drum up new business, then that's kind of a valuable resource. Kind of like if you can find a franchise quarterback, can you really pass up on it? But at the same time, like, you know, he said, you guys are bringing in assets. I mean, you know, for us, I guess regionally or whatever, not a lot of people are bringing money in the door. I was shocked at how little money people are bringing in. And the three of us tend to bring in, you know, eight figures, you know, over, you know, I know you want 50 million, but I'm saying that we're bringing in 10 million plus every year. So, I'm just curious as to.
So what you're saying is, in the land of the midgets, you're the biggest midget.
No, we're not the biggest. We're not. Yeah, it's not quite the summer school valedictorian, but
I'm not.
But the question basically is if we do, like if one CSA can't support the three of us right now, if we bring on a fourth who's bringing in a lot, then we still have the problem of needing more infrastructure behind it. Right?
Here's the game, guys. If you can bring in 10 million or 20 million doing what you're doing, if you have leverage, you can bring in 40 million.
Right.
Okay? So please don't tell me about people that aren't bringing in any money, okay? That's not why we're in business, right? We're not in business to compare ourselves to people that never bring in any money.
All right,
yourself. Yeah, compare yourself to the top 1% of the best financial advisors in your firm.
Right. The guy down the hall brought in $60 million last year. He was number one or two. One person,
okay,
$60 million.
Okay, now you've got a good benchmark. Your job is to beat him.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're ganging up on him, right? You could beat him in a fight. There's more of
Maybe
you.
Maybe not. You haven't met Barry.
Seriously,
you guys can – so, you know, leverage – how do you leverage yourself? Do you leverage yourself with more support and more fighters, you know, more guys going out.
Right.
And look, if you're on the hook and you're really committed to doing this, your heads are going to be in the game more, right? So you're going to bring in, without the new guy, you're going to bring in 10 million more, 20 million more, because you've committed to doing it.
So the question is basically, you're of the mindset where it's better to bring somebody on to bring in the assets, and then we'll backfill the infrastructure behind it, as opposed to having the 8-lane highway built with no traffic.
I'd like to do both simultaneously.
I was just going to say, I know he's – and I also think that if we do one, the other will come, and it's kind of a chicken and the egg question as well.
Right. But you got assets coming in. Money solves all problems.
You should write a book that says that. Money solves all problems by Rob Knapp.
Yes, that is true, but that is a – yes.
I mean, it does for a boss, for your – you know. And he shouldn't be looking – it's fair but not equal, okay? It's the way I ran the region, fair but not equal. I'm sorry, we're not equal around here. This is not AOC. You perform or you're fired. I love you, right? You perform the best, you get everything. Not everything, but you get more than your fair share.
Correct.
Okay? So you feed your winners. You just have to convince them that you are a winner consistently over time, and every dollar he invests in you is a good investment. Managers and leaders don't always – all they're hearing is this crap from above, okay? Cut, 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 you know, cut, cut, cut. Be afraid,
right.
Be afraid, be afraid. They're never going to get promoted. They're never going to have a nice life if they live in fear. They got to have some guts, and they got to go out and do some things that take some risks, like pushing hard to hire people when nobody's hiring, or figure out a way, you know. And if you can't, then you know, the five-time rule will tell you whether or not it's really a no. A one-time no or a two-times no is not a no. You got to. And you're not asking for the moon. You're simply asking them to support you while you grow, which is what they desperately want. Make an investment in us. It's a great investment.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that's first subject. Next.
Okay.
I mean, you know what you were going to hear from me, right? Did you need to have me tell you all that?
So,
sometimes, yes.
So, from a financial standpoint, I agree. If we could bring on another assistant and also bring on someone to grow, that would be awesome. You know, how it's hard because, you know, giving away this business is hard to start with. You know, like, you know, giving away $10,000 in revenue. We know we're still getting $3,000 back, but we're handing off $7,000, you know, of revenue to somebody. So, you know, we're kind of like simultaneously also looking at spending more money as well. You know, like it's not easy.
It's a good investment. It's a good investment. You guys are, if you have no confidence, and remember, the reason George Kemp did Supernova was he said, I would never have the courage to give away the clients if I didn't believe I could bring in the business.
Right.
Okay. So either you need to get more belief in the fact that you can bring in more business, or you need to hold on to every single dollar and every single client and stop thinking about growing.
Do you care about professional designations?
No. I care about bringing in money.
So you believe it would be better for me to just, instead of studying for 10 hours a week to get a designation, you think it would be better for me to just prospect an additional 10 hours a week and bring in the money?
Look, you've got an issue. You've got a financial issue. It's in your voice. You've got to get rid of that issue.
I don't.
You got to make more money, and then your voice won't sound worried. You're worried. Bring in $100 million. Go bring in $100 million, and the voice changes. You then are cocky and happy, and believe in what you're doing.
I'm not necessarily asking for myself.
I understand.
Like
you're voicing the feelings of the group. It applies exactly the same way. Bring in $100 million. And the problem goes away. Then you can get all the designations you want. Go be a lawyer. No. I'm not being a smartass. That's just the reality. You guys, deal with the urgent first. Urgent, important, money.
And that kind of goes back to the other side of the equation, too.
Right.
Yeah. When the money solves all the problems. Revenue solves all the problems. More assets solves all the problems.
Everything goes away. No more.
Right.
No more.
This is the cyclical conversation we keep having. Like we're not going to go out and get more assets unless we take the dive and we give up 20 of our clients to where we have more time to go get the more assets. If we don't give up the clients first, we don't have time to go get the more assets, but we're scared to give up the clients because nobody wants to backslide on their paycheck. You know?
Why do you call it a leap of faith, right? Crossing the Invisible Bridge, right? That was the original name of the book. It was a leap of faith. You got to have the courage to leap. And that means giving up clients, simultaneously bringing in new assets. You can wait and get $5 million and then give away $5 million. That's okay. But you shouldn't bring in $5 million and not give away anything.
No, but I'm saying like there's a lot of people we're holding on to that are holding us back from going out and getting more of these assets. Is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Like
you'll always have some people that are holding you back no matter what. If you feel you have more people holding you back than you can afford, then you should give them away now.
That's what I'm doing.
It's good.
I'm not trying to get to the 30 clients, but I'm definitely trying to move forward a bit more.
It's good. It's great. And it look, I'm here to help you. Okay, I'm your coach. I'm your psychologist. I'm all those things. You tell me about emotion. I match it up with logic. I understand it's an emotional challenge. Logically, it makes all the sense in the world. So when you're selling and a client is doing this to you, the markets scare me to death. This is horrible time. I want to sell everything. You say, emotionally, that's how you feel right now. Logically, we know the market delivers 8 to 10% a year and has consistently over the years. If you hung on since you were a child and invested $10,000, you'd have blank, okay? So you just have to hang on and get through these periods when psychologically you feel horrible. And he'll say, you're right. And you say, that's why you hire me. And why you don't do it yourself. Otherwise, everybody could just do it themselves. So that's why you hire a coach, to say, take the leap of faith. I mean, unless you're lying to me and you don't really believe that you can bring in the assets. If you are, then hoard what you've got.
What's that sorry?
I'll tell you, I've been trying to do this so I could kind of prove it to Barry or whatever. Like, I'm trying, like, my goal is to keep giving up clients and keep bringing in money. And, like, once he sees that I've brought in, you know, $30 million before he's brought in 10, then he'll finally get on board. Like, that's part of why I've been pressing so hard, you know, like, because I'm trying to do it, and then I'm trying to show a proof of concept, that way it'll be easier to get full buy-in, you know, because he's, quite frankly, he's the worst about this from that standpoint, just, you know.
He's the worst about a lot of things. But
leadership is hard.
I'm not the leader.
Yeah, you are in this case, right? You're designating
yourself.
You're
not the leader, but you are the leader.
Right. You're the real leader. You may not have the title, but you are the leader by your actions. It takes much more courage to be a leader than a follower. Nobody believes things can be done until the leader says they can be done and then does it, lead by example, and then others will follow. So the first people going across the supernova invisible bridge took tremendous courage. For us, 20 years later, should take a lot less courage. You know, you read the book and you hear the stories, you can read it every night and listen to it every day on the way to work, and you will understand that others have done it. It doesn't take the same courage as when the first guys did it. But it's still you. It's the first time you're doing it, but you've been doing it now for a year and a half. So.
Yeah, it's working. I brought in a year and a half what I brought in the prior 5 years.
Right.
Easily. Maybe six.
And we see it working, and it is working for everyone. And once again, it's not a black or white scenario, and we are moving and we are taking positive steps, and we're even, you know, even though we didn't get Tim yet, that doesn't mean that it's done. And just because, you know, hopefully Barry was out there and something fell on his lap and he's coming back with a couple $1 million.
Yeah, Barry's getting an intro to $100 million prospect, $100 million plus prospect. From one of our biggest clients. Our biggest client wants Barry to go at it alone for the initial meeting. He says this guy's a little eccentric. And Barry's also out in L.A. right now working on a executive from Capitol Records that just got exit package. So it's like $3 million and just the retirement plan. So hopefully something plays out there. Oh, other good news. One of these guys that uses my option strategy, he works with a bigger team in New York, and they're looking at moving over $8 or $10 million into my strategy because they've been watching it, and I'm beating a lot of the other national teams that they've been using. So that's good. Yeah, that's a lot of gathering tool.
There's a lot of good things happening.
But yeah, I mean, my stated goal, or I guess, is to have 50 high net worth clients and run one or maybe two at most strategies, and off source the other strategies. We're talking about doing some of that as well. Like, I don't need to spend my time running a moderate allocation. There's other people that can do it better that we can just hire to do it.
So, you know,
my moderate allocation is nothing that our clients can't live without. So
it sounds all good to me, guys. I mean, Brian, and I mean, you brought in as much in the last year and a half as you did in the previous 5 years. My guess, you'll bring in as much as you did in the last year and a half in the next 9 months.
God willing.
And then the same in 5.5 months, and so forth. I mean,
yeah.
The efficiency of the process, your maturity, your knowledge, it all gets better. The problem is most people stop prospecting once they get good at doing this. It's so crazy, you know? It's so crazy. So I like the fact that you have some heat on you. I like the fact you got to sell yourself to Tim or whoever and to the rest of the guys. And you're on the hook for it. That's good. And you make sure everybody on the team knows you're on the hook. I'm on the hook for this guy. We've got to do this. Well, what a difference between just coming to work and doing your best, right? It's a different mindset when you've really committed to something. I love that.
All right.
It's all a psychological game from here on. You know, they say golf is, when you get to that highest level, it's just, you know, but the 6 inches between your ears, it's not your swing, and it's nothing else. And that's the way this game becomes. It's not designations. It's not special tools. It's psychological. Your confidence and your ability to, I mean, look how when a guy wins a tournament, what happens to his confidence. So if that's golf, why would it be any different in this? It's confidence. Supernova gives you confidence that you have a process that is as good as anything in the market. And if you have an investment process to match that up, there isn't anybody that should beat you. The only thing I would tell you to do is maybe take advantage of what I just talked about and make sure you have an estate planning process that's as good as anybody's in the business. You don't need a designation for that. You just need to do the work and set it up and so you know how it works. You can do it for yourself. You can do it for a client, but be familiar with the terms and how it works and why it's such a cool thing.
Yeah, I almost went the heck. What's that?
Heckerling
Institute this year, but the money was just coming in so fast that I didn't have time to take a week off to go do that. But
that also kind of is step two.
Let you network with some of the big accountants and attorneys. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the designation just says you have the knowledge. If you can get the knowledge, you know, without taking 2 years of work, great. Let's get the knowledge, and then we'll, you know, when we have time, we'll go get the designation.
Right. All right.
The 1242 is more important than the designation because that tells the client you care. Don't tell me how much you know until I know how much you care.
Right.
Right? So you want to show them that you care, and then if you have something that you know high net worth clients need, go figure it out and then, you know, get it for them. But don't think about changing somebody else, whether it's Barry or anybody else. You can't do that. It's like worrying about fixing your children. You can't do it. Once they're grown, they're on their own. All you can be is a good example for them and be there for them when they need you. You can't fix them.
Well, I don't know how we have to. I guess we don't have to have full buy-in for this to work. You know, like, it could work for me. It doesn't have to work for Larry, you know, or whatever the case is.
Right.
But for, like, the, you know, like, if it was up to me right now, I think I would take almost take a 10% pay cut to hire another assistant and just, like, have somebody else here, you know, like, to help us with all this stuff, because I do believe that we can get to that next level. So that's kind of
sounds like a good plan to me. Get everybody to take a 10% pay cut and hire another person, and then make it up with revenue.
Right. I mean, like, we really only we have like our whole practice. We're at 80% recurring revenue. It's really only $150 million in managed. So not even. So if we bring in $15 million, that covers, you know, or if we bring $18 million, that covers 10% of our salary.
Right.
But if we do that, you know, it's going to be more quality assets as opposed to some of the other stuff we're working with. So.
Just think, when it's hard for everybody, then, and you figure it out, you got a leg up.
And that may also be looking, you know, looking more at somebody internal. You know, we can get buy-in there and make it work and continue to move, and then it opens up, look, invest in us, and
so
then the other part comes around.
In order of preference, Rob, would you rather us bring on an advisor to be like an internal advisor grinder type person? Would you rather have us bring on an additional assistant, or would you rather have us bring on an asset finder?
At first, get the assistant. It sounds like you've got enough assets that are coming in, and the pain factor is pretty high.
Okay.
Because my sense is, Ryan, when the administration isn't there to do these things, you end up doing them.
Yes, that is exactly what happens. You have no idea the amount of shit that goes through my hands.
Yes.
Right. And
you get involved into more stuff than you should.
There's a chapter on what I call radical delegation.
That's what I'm on now in the book.
It's a perfect chapter. It's my dad taught me that my job is to eliminate my job.
Right.
And your job is to, in your case, eliminate your job, except for the job of bring in more money. You got two jobs. You guys have two jobs. One is to meet with clients, and the other one is to meet with prospects. If you're doing those two things, you're doing what you're being paid to do. If you're doing something else, that's not what they pay you.
Right.
Okay? You can always get somebody else to do the other thing. Even the management of your option strategies, all your strategies. You can hire somebody to do all that stuff for you. You can just tell them what you want done, and then they can do it.
Well, the option strategy is good because it's an asset gathering tool for me that allows me to leverage my time. I only have to do the strategy once, and I could have 50 advisors bringing assets into it.
Right.
Yeah, it's good. It's leverage. So you've leveraged your activity. So it's a multiplier. Remember, the supernova multiplier,
right?
Not a divider. It's a multiplier. How do you leverage yourself?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Has this been helpful?
Yes.
We'll find out.
No, it's been helpful.
Yes. Yes. Look, everything you say and do is helpful. The question, you know, it's whether we do anything about it is the difference, Rob. You know, like uh-huh. you know, you're laying out the recipe for us, and we're saying, no, if you bake that, it's going to taste like shit. Or I don't have enough time to make that. You know how hard it is to find those ingredients? You know, like, that's what we're doing. Or, like, you know, like, oh, I'm scared to bake that. What if I'm allergic to it? Or, you know, like
right.
you know, so like, I've never, I don't know. The three of us are not real spiritual people, and we're not, like, real, you know, faith-driven people, to my knowledge. So, you know, like, faith has always been a very hard concept for me. I'm a math and science guy, and, you know, I think we're all very much, you know, prove it to me type people. Because even for us, with the whole, like, oh, put your money in the market and let it ride, you know, I'm sitting on $250,000 of cash for, like, 6 months. Like, because I am dealing with the issues that I have to fight my clients to overcome. You know, like, I have some money in play, but, like, you know, even though you know the answer to certain things, you do them wrong. You know, we've all dated a girl that we knew we shouldn't be around, or we've all, you know,
yeah, but
done something stupid we know we shouldn't be doing, you know, so, like, you still got to overcome it, you know, like, you still got to cross the bridge, like you're saying, you know, that's the challenge here.
Well, that's why you have personal trainers, consultants, psychologists, spiritual counselors, and others to guide you. You shouldn't have to do it all yourself.
I know. It's something else you've been fucking right about. You know, like, as soon as I stopped seeing my personal trainer, I stopped going to the gym immediately. Like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna try out this other thing for a month and see if I like that. And then, like, I was going to introductory class at Orange Theory, and then I got food poisoning the night before, and then, like, my daughter got sick, and I got sidetracked. And I'm like, oh, you know, 3 weeks have gone by, and I, like, have hardly done anything, you know, like, I just got a new pair of running shoes that I haven't even run in yet. You know, like, I mean, I'm just like, you know, you're totally right. You know, like, when I had my appointment, I was there. So my trainer texted me last night and said, hey, you have one appointment left. Do you want to use it on Wednesday? I'm like, yes. And I put it on the calendar. So I know I'm going to the gym Wednesday morning unless I'm at the hospital or something. You know, like, I know it's going to happen now. You know, so
isn't it annoying to have a coach that's right?
Yeah, it's good. It's encouraging because we've had coaches that have not been very good before. Or I guess I can't say that if we didn't listen to everything they told us to do.
Right, but it's also not you are using it the right way. Other people you can't control, and don't worry about it. Your job is to do what you can do and what you can control, and it's not going to matter.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I made those things on the spreadsheet. I made, like, our activity trackers, and you're doing it. I'm not. You know, like, I need to do that. I fucking made it. Like, why am I not doing it? You know what I mean? Like, I know how important it is. I, like, stayed up late to do it for the team, and then I find myself not checking off the boxes. It's like, oh, God.
Well, that's because it's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing not to do.
Right. I feel like I'm like, oh, I'm doing all these activities. I'm super busy. Like, I don't need to check the boxes to prove I'm super busy. I am super busy, you know, like, and.
No, you need to check the boxes because it controls more of where you spend your time and energies. is why you want to check the boxes.
Yeah, I would have said
you're busy. We're all busy, but you know, busy with Kim necessary versus busy with clients.
All right, using the analogy of the personal trainer, how could you keep yourself on track to do it?
I don't know. Waste, you know, have, put $30 into a jar if I don't show up, or $40 into a jar if I don't show up, like a session.
No, that's different. You paid your personal trainer, right? You have a contract with them. All you do is substitute one of the people on your team as your personal trainer and say, you're my personal trainer, I'm your personal trainer. We're going to meet, no questions asked, every blank Monday, Friday, and we're going to hold each other accountable to this activity.
Okay.
So it's coffee in the morning, it's a meeting, it's 10 minutes, it's whatever you guys can do, but you don't not show up. You show up. You commit to each other to show up because it's important for me and my sanity that you make me show up. And that you show up for me. I'll show up for you. You show up for me. Just like you do with your personal trainer. And that's how you don't depend on yourself for all of your personal discipline. You give it over to other people, and then you don't let them down. Okay? So if you want to, you give up some... You know, you give up something for Lent. You hold yourself accountable by sharing that with your spouse and other people and say, I've given up X for Lent. And then when I look at that cookie at the bakery, I say, no, I'm not eating cookies or any sweets for Lent. Okay? It's the same thing. It's just what's going to make you do what you're supposed to do or not do what you're not supposed to do. It's a commitment that you really are going to take seriously.
Okay.
Okay. It's baby steps. You can't do it. To be a consistent goal achiever, you have to be a consistent goal setter. And you have to be able to understand what will keep you on track and what gets you off track. And trying to do it by yourself is nearly impossible. Go try and train for a marathon by yourself. Impossible. Hire a trainer, runs with you, you pay him, you'll run the marathon. Okay. We're all in the same game. Everyone in every human being is in exactly the same business. You just have to be a little bit better than the rest. Just a little. Not a lot, just a little.
Right.
And that will put you in the top 0.1% in money earners and everything else.
And showing up, you're already beating 70% of people out there, regardless.
Right? Wasn't it Woody Allen said 75% of life is showing up?
Yeah.
And that's it. Show up for the meeting. Even if you didn't do it, you sit there and take a beating.
Alrighty. I'm sorry. I've got to go. I have to head over to the hospital.
Just here fearlessly. You're going to die anyway. We're all going to die. Live fearlessly.
Live fearlessly. Yeah, Ryan's not the biggest risk taker out there, but we're trying to get him to enjoy life a little bit more and have fun at work.
My brother takes no risks. He's been afraid his whole life. I'm afraid to inform him that he's not going to get out of this thing alive.
Right.
Okay? Have fun, yeah. Be fearless, and go for it.
All right.
Okay? Seriously, have fun. Don't make it. Don't be so serious. This is a game. Have fun.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Why do you call it the game board, not the work board? Okay. See you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.